Chapter 155. At length all these weighty matters being arranged, a day was fixed for selling out and transferring the stock, and of waiting with that view upon Wilkins Flesher Esquire, stockbroker, of somewhere near the bank, who had been recommended by Mr. Solomon Pell for the purpose. It was a kind of festive occasion, and the parties were attired accordingly. Mr. Weller's tops were newly cleaned, and his dress was arranged with peculiar care. The mottled-faced gentleman wore at his buttonhole a full-sized dahlia with several leaves, and the coats of his two friends were adorned with nosegays of laurel and other evergreens. All three were habited in strict holiday costume, that is to say, they were wrapped up to the chins, and wore as many clothes as possible, which is, and has been, a stagecoachman's idea of full dress ever since stagecoaches were invented. Mr. Pell was waiting at the usual place of meeting at the appointed time. Even he wore a pair of gloves and a clean shirt, much frayed at the collar and wristbands by frequent washings. 1:45, apostrophe said Pell, looking at the parlor clock. If we are with Mr. Flesher at 1:15, we shall just hit the best time. Apostrophe, what should you say to a drop o' beer, gentlemen? Apostrophe suggested the mottled-faced man. And a little bit o' cold beef, apostrophe said the second coachman. Or a oyster, apostrophe added the third, who was a hoarse gentleman, supported by very round legs. Here, apostrophe said Pell, to congratulate Mr. Weller on his coming into possession of his property, eh? Ha! Ha! Apostrophe, I'm quite agreeable, gentlemen, apostrophe answered Mr. Weller. Sammy, pull the bell. Apostrophe, Sammy complied. And the porter, cold beef, and oysters being promptly produced, the lunch was done ample justice to. Where everybody took so active a part, it is almost invidious to make a distinction. But if one individual evinced greater powers than another, it was the coachman with the hoarse voice, who took an imperial pint of vinegar with his oysters, without betraying the least emotion. Apostrophe Mr. Pell, sir, apostrophe said the elder Mr. Weller, stirring a glass of brandy and water, of which one was placed before every gentleman, when the oyster shells were removed. Apostrophe Mr. Pell, sir, it was my intention to have proposed the funds on this occasion, but Samuel has whispered to me. Apostrophe here Mr. Samuel Weller, who had silently eaten his oysters with tranquil smiles, cried, here, apostrophe in a very loud voice, has whispered to me, apostrophe resumed his father, that it would be better to do it the liquor to vision you success and prosperity, and thanking you for the manner in which you've brought this here business through. Here's your health, sir. Apostrophe, hold hard there, apostrophe interposed the mottled-faced gentleman, with sudden energy, your eyes on me, gentlemen. Apostrophe, saying this, the mottled-faced gentleman rose, as did the other gentleman. The mottled-faced gentleman reviewed the company, and slowly lifted his hand, upon which every man, including him of the mottled countenance, drew a long breath, and lifted his tumbler to his lips. In one instant, the mottled-faced gentleman depressed his hand again, and every glass was set down empty. It is impossible to describe the thrilling effect produced by this striking ceremony. At once dignified, solemn, and impressive, it combined every element of grandeur. Well, gentlemen, apostrophe said Mr. Pell, all I can say is, that such marks of confidence must be very gratifying to a professional man. I don't wish to say anything that might appear egotistical, gentlemen, but I'm very glad, for your own sakes, that you came to me, that's all. If you had gone to any low member of the profession, it's my firm conviction, and I assure you of it as a fact, that you would have found yourselves in Queer Street before this. I could have wished my noble friend had been alive to have seen my management of this case. I don't say it out of pride, but I think, however, gentlemen, I won't trouble you with that. I'm generally to be found here, gentlemen, But if I'm not here, or over the way, that's my address. You'll find my terms very cheap and reasonable, and no man attends more to his clients than I do, and I hope I know a little of my profession besides. If you have any opportunity of recommending me to any of your friends, gentlemen, I shall be very much obliged to you, and so will they too, when they come to know me. Your healths, gentlemen. Apostrophe, with this expression of his feelings, Mr. Solomon Pell laid three small written cards before Mr. Weller's friends, and, looking at the clock again, feared it was time to be walking. Upon this hint Mr. Weller settled the bill, and, issuing forth, the executor, legatee, attorney, and umpires, directed their steps towards the city. The office of Wilkins Flasher Esquire, of the Stock Exchange, was in a first floor up a court behind the Bank of England. The house of Wilkins Flasher Esquire was at Brixton, Surrey. The horse and Stanhope of Wilkins Flasher Esquire were at an adjacent livery stable. The groom of Wilkins Flasher Esquire was on his way to the West End to deliver some game. The clerk of Wilkins Flasher Esquire had gone to his dinner, and so Wilkins Flasher Esquire himself cried, "Come in!" apostrophe when Mr. Pell and his companions knocked at the counting house door. "Good morning, sir," apostrophe said Pell, bowing obsequiously. "We want to make a little transfer, if you please." Apostrophe, "Oh, just come in, will you?" Apostrophe said Mr. Flasher. "Sit down a minute, I'll attend to you directly." Apostrophe, "Thank you, sir," apostrophe said Pell, "there's no hurry. Take a chair, Mr. Weller." Apostrophe, Mr. Weller took a chair, and Sam took a box, and the umpires took what they could get, and looked at the almanac and one or two papers which were wafered against the wall, with as much open-eyed reverence, as if they had been the finest efforts of the old masters. "Well, I'll bet you half a dozen of claret on it. Come." Apostrophe said Wilkins Flasher Esquire, resuming the conversation to which Mr. Pell's entrance had caused a momentary interruption. This was addressed to a very smart young gentleman who wore his hat on his right whisker, and was lounging over the desk, killing flies with a ruler. Wilkins Flasher Esquire was balancing himself on two legs of an office stool, spearing a wafer box with a penknife, which he dropped every now and then with great dexterity into the very center of a small red wafer that was stuck outside. Both gentlemen had very open waistcoats and very rolling collars, and very small boots, and very big rings, and very little watches, and very large guard chains, and symmetrical inexpressibles, and scented pocket handkerchiefs. "I never bet half a dozen." Apostrophe said the other gentleman. "I'll take a dozen." Apostrophe, "Done, Simmery, done." Apostrophe said Wilkins Flasher Esquire. "P.P., mind," apostrophe observed the other. "Of course," apostrophe replied Wilkins Flasher Esquire. Wilkins Flasher Esquire entered it in a little book, with a gold pencil case, and the other gentleman entered it also, in another little book with another gold pencil case. "I see there's a notice up this morning about offer," apostrophe observed Mr. Simmery. "Poor devil, he's expelled the house." Apostrophe, "I'll bet you 10 guineas to 5, he cuts his throat," apostrophe said Wilkins Flasher Esquire. "Done," apostrophe replied Mr. Simmery. "Stop. I bar," apostrophe said Wilkins Flasher Esquire, thoughtfully. "Perhaps he may hang himself." Apostrophe, "Very good," apostrophe rejoined Mr. Simmery, pulling out the gold pencil case again. "I've no objection to take you that way. Say, makes away with himself. Apostrophe, kills himself, in fact," apostrophe said Wilkins Flasher Esquire. "Just so," apostrophe replied Mr. Simmery, putting it down. "Flasher 10 guineas to 5, Boffer kills himself. Within what time shall we say? Apostrophe, a fortnight?" Apostrophe suggested Wilkins Flasher Esquire. "Confound it, no," apostrophe rejoined Mr. Simmery, stopping for an instant, To smash a fly with a ruler. Say a week. Apostrophe, split the difference. Apostrophe, said Wilkins Flasher Esquire. Make it 10 days. Apostrophe, well, 10 days. Apostrophe, rejoined Mr. Simmery. So it was entered down on the little books, that Offer was to kill himself within 10 days, or Wilkins Flasher Esquire was to hand over to Frank Simmery Esquire the sum of 10 guineas, and that if Offer did kill himself within that time, Frank Simmery Esquire would pay to Wilkins Flasher Esquire 5 guineas instead. I'm very sorry he has failed, apostrophe said Wilkins Flasher Esquire. Capital dinners he gave. Apostrophe, fine port he had to, apostrophe remarked Mr. Simmery. We are going to send our butler to the sale tomorrow, to pick up some of that 64. Apostrophe, the devil you are. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Wilkins Flasher Esquire. My man's going to. 5 guineas my man outbids your man. Apostrophe, done. Apostrophe, another entry was made in the little books, with the gold pencil cases. And Mr. Simmery, having by this time killed all the flies, and taken all the bets, strolled away to the stock exchange, to see what was going forward. Wilkins Flasher Esquire now condescended to receive Mr. Solomon Pell's instructions, and having filled up some printed forms, requested the party to follow him to the bank, which they did. Mr. Weller and his three friends staring at all they beheld in unbounded astonishment, and Sam encountering everything with a coolness which nothing could disturb. Crossing a courtyard which was all noise and bustle, and passing a couple of porters who seemed dressed to match the red fire engine which was wheeled away into a corner, they passed into an office, where their business was to be transacted, and where Pell and Mr. Flasher left them standing for a few moments, while they went upstairs into the will office. What place is this here? Apostrophe, apostrophe, whispered the mottled-faced gentleman to the elder Mr. Weller. Counsel's office, apostrophe replied the executor in a whisper. What are them gentlemen a settin' behind the counters? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked the horse coachman. Reduced counsels, I suppose, apostrophe replied Mr. Weller. Ain't they the reduced counsels, Samuel? Apostrophe, apostrophe, why, you don't suppose the reduced counsels is alive, do you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Sam, with some disdain. How should I know? Apostrophe, apostrophe, retorted Mr. Weller. I thought they looked worry like it. What are they, then? Apostrophe, clerks, apostrophe, replied Sam. What are they all eating ham sandwiches for? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired his father. 'Cause it's in their duty, I suppose, apostrophe, replied Sam. It's a part o' the system. They're always a doin' it here, all day long. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Weller and his friends had scarcely had a moment to reflect upon this singular regulation as connected with the monetary system of the country, when they were rejoined by Pell and Wilkins Flasher Esquire, who led them to a part of the counter above which was a round blackboard with a large W apostrophe on it. What's that for, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Mr. Weller, directing Pell's attention to the target in question. The first letter of the name of the deceased, apostrophe, replied Pell. I say, apostrophe, said Mr. Weller, turning round to the umpires, there's something wrong here. We's our letter this won't do. Apostrophe, the referees at once gave it as their decided opinion that the business could not be legally proceeded with, under the letter W, and in all probability it would have stood over for one day at least, had it not been for the prompt, though, at first sight, undutiful behavior of Sam, who, seizing his father by the skirt of the coat, dragged him to the counter, and pinned him there, until he had affixed his signature to a couple of instruments, which, from Mr. Weller's habit of printing, was a work of so much labor and time, that the officiating clerk peeled and ate 3 ripstone pippins while it was performing. As the elder Mr. Weller insisted on selling out his portion forthwith, they proceeded from the bank to the gate of the stock exchange, to which Wilkins Flasher Esquire, after a short absence, returned with a check on Smith, Payne and Smith for £530, that being the money to which Mr. Weller, at the market price of the day, was entitled, in consideration of the balance of the second Mrs. Weller's funded savings. Sam's £200 stood transferred to his name, and Wilkins Flasher Esquire, having been paid his commission, dropped the money carelessly into his coat pocket and lounged back to his office. Mr. Weller was at first obstinately determined on cashing the check in nothing but sovereigns, but it being represented by the umpires that by so doing he must incur the expense of a small sack to carry them home in, he consented to receive the amount in £5 notes. "My son," apostrophe said Mr. Weller, as they came out of the banking house, "my son and me has a worry particular engagement this arternoon, and I should like to have this here business settled out of hand, so let's just go straight away some veers, veer we can audit the accounts." Apostrophe, a quiet room was soon found, and the accounts were produced and audited. Mr. Pell's bill was taxed by Sam, and some charges were disallowed by the umpires, but, notwithstanding Mr. Pell's declaration, accompanied with many solemn asseverations, that they were really too hard upon him, it was by very many degrees the best professional job he had ever had, and one on which he boarded, lodged, and washed, for 6 months afterwards. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.